Good morning. Almost happy Valentine's Day. I may not see you all that day, so I wish you happy Valentine's Day now. You know, the ladies had a great gathering yesterday. I was here some of the time just working on my sermon in the office, and it was just great just to see friends and family, sisters in Christ hanging out, a lot of joy. Just giving and receiving love and encouragement and acceptance and pretty cards and food. And it was really, really neat. It's a lot of fun to give, you know, of yourself to other people. And in Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, the physician Luke was quoting the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul quotes the words of Jesus, but Paul said, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, sometimes I was thinking about occasions when I've heard that said, and I can remember different times watching televangelists on one of the networks talking about being better to give than receive. And I think what they meant was, you know, you can give to our ministry, right? You can give to me, you know, you can give to what we're doing here. And, you know, I want to thank the Lord for that. You know, Paul said, hey, for whatever motive, the gospel is being preached, right? So praise God for that. Anytime the gospel is being shared. But in the context, when Paul said those words and was quoting Jesus, he wasn't talking about giving to him, giving to Paul's ministry. Paul actually gave a lot of himself. He wasn't looking to get anything. Paul was a really good example of following the words of Jesus, of helping other people by pouring your life out into other people. His life was about others and not himself. Giving is blessed. Giving is blessed. It brings happiness. It brings joy. It brings so much fulfillment. It's exciting to give. I love to give gifts to my wife, and she helps me to give her good gifts. Because she'll tell me, you know, like, this is what you should get me. Which I need that help. I'm grateful for that. She gives me good advice on that. So, you know, giving, it brings satisfaction to give. It is so good. And it's just, it's wonderful. The opposite of that, you know, I'm prone sometimes to the opposite of giving. Sometimes I'm excited to get a gift, or, you know, used to collect albums back in the day. It was exciting to go in a record store and find some cool album from the 60s I've been looking for and that I could just hoard as part of my collection, you know. That was all right, but there was a man years ago, William Allen White. He was a journalist in Kansas, in Emporia, Kansas. And he was pretty well known back in the day, like 100 years ago. He was a newspaper man. And I want to share with you something that he said. He talked about three kicks per dollar. And the word kicks, if you're not familiar with how that was used back in the day, it means like a thrill, something exciting. And he said there's three kicks, there's three thrills in every dollar. He said the first kick, the first thrill is earning a dollar. You know, especially back then, you know, back that was a lot of money 100 years ago. So he said, you know, it is exciting to work, to earn some money, to earn a dollar, and there's a thrill in that. He said the second kick is when you save a dollar. You guys remember when you first started saving? I remember as a really young kid putting money back. I forget my allowance at the time was for doing chores was like 35 cents a week. And then I started delivering newspapers, and I remember seeing, you know, when my little bank account, my savings account would reach like $2. I was like, that's awesome. You know, it was really exciting and thrilling to save money and to set goals for that. But the third kick is when you give a dollar away. And William White said, that is the greatest kick of all. When you take that money that you have earned, that you have saved, and you don't keep it, and you give it, whether it's given it to the church, whether it's given it to a neighbor who needs it, whatever that is, when you, the excitement of helping somebody who needs that more than you need that, and you're able to be an instrument of God and share that. Now, I remember as a young believer, and the whole idea of tithing or giving or, you know, and an offering was my church back then, we passed a plate around. And I remember putting money in there and just the excitement thinking, the gospel is being proclaimed in my church, and I get to be part of that because of giving. You know, I'm allowed this opportunity. Or the gospel's being taken to this other country. You know, the gospel's being shared in my community because I get to give, and just it's such an exciting thing to give. You and I have the opportunity to get three kicks out of every dollar. Isn't that awesome? That you can earn money, you can save money, you can give. William Allen White had discovered a truth that Jesus shared. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? I want to let you know, I mean, I know I'm supposed to believe it. And I think I do. But I wrestle with that sometimes. You know, for the Christian, for us, it's not only thrilling to give because it's helping somebody who needs whatever, but we get to share in the character of God when we give. That's really exciting because our God is a giver. He gives and gives and gives and gives, and it is part of his nature, and it's part of his plan for his church, that we are people who give, and it's part of the ways that he does a work in our life. You know, I remember years ago, I don't even remember who it was, some Christian artist talking about churches asking for money and asking for donations and saying something about, well, my God's not broke, so I don't know that I need to do that. But, you know, God isn't broke. But he invites us to give, not only financially, but to give time, to give talents, to give of ourselves, because it's part of his plan for us. You know, when we mention here, you know, that you can give, and you can. If you want to give financially, there's ways to do that. I don't talk about it much, but there's offering boxes you can give online. And when we do that, when we talk about that, it's because it's not God's way of raising cash. God doesn't need to raise cash. Giving is part of God's way of raising kids, me and you. That's part. When he gives us the opportunity to give, it's part of him growing us up and doing a work in us. You know, he wants us to have kingdom values. He wants us to understand that we wrestle with wanting to trust in money. And so he invites us to trust instead to him. Amen. And to live out kingdom values and not put our trust in money, and by doing so, being more like Jesus, who trusted in the Father, of course. It's part of our preparation to get us ready for eternity. So this morning we're going to look at Luke 6. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 6. And we find Jesus' sermon on the level place, or on the plain, some call it. Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people. There's a lot of disciples who were there, but specifically he's teaching his 12, the 12 apostles. And in this teaching time, Jesus is sharing some rules for living for his disciples. In verse 17, he says, "But to you who are listening, I say," and he's talking to these apprentices, these apostles, and he's telling them, here's how I want you to live. And we're not going to cover all that right now. I want you to dig into this for yourself and see the context. But he tells them, listen, guys, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my apprentice, you need to be people who love. You need to be people who serve. You need to be people who do good, who pray for those who are persecuting. You need to be people who are generous and merciful. You need to be people who are non-judgmental towards non-believers. You need to be people who forgive others. You need to be people who give.
Yes, amen.
And when we live in that way, verses 32 to 34 there, it tells us that it shows the difference between those who are disciples of Jesus and those who do not believe, those who are non-believers. It also provides a family resemblance. We are people who give and live out kingdom values. It shows a resemblance to our Heavenly Father, verses 35 and 36.
Amen.
And then there's rewards involved, verses 37 to 38. I want to read that. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." Now today, as we continue following in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to consider his practice of giving. His practice of giving. And if we would be his disciples, if we'd be apprentices of Jesus, if we would be children of the Father, we need to be people who are ready always to give. That we look at our lives that way, that our lives each day, we wake up embracing the idea that this is a day that I have multiple opportunities to be poured out, to give to other people, financially and otherwise, in every way. John 3:16.
Yeah.
Anybody know John 3:16? One of the most famous verses in the Bible. If you maybe say this with me today, I think we've got a slide for this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Amen. Who did the action here?
God.
God. And what did God do?
He
gave. God gave. He loved and he gave. What does that tell us about the character of God? He's a giver. Yeah. God is a giver. We need to recognize that today. Our Heavenly Father is a great giver.
Amen.
He is a great giver. One of the most beautiful words in the Bible that I just love, certainly the name of Jesus, I always, you know, your heart skips a beat when you see that name or hear that name. But when I hear the word grace, it is so beautiful and so powerful. And sometimes we define that as unmerited favor or unearned gift or a kindness of God that we don't deserve. But it all points back to the fact that God is a great giver. He is all about giving radically, lavishing his goodness and his grace upon those who do not deserve it. We can't deserve it. You know, I look through the scriptures and I just don't find places where God is described as somebody who just takes and takes and takes. That is not our God at all. He's not wired that way. That's not his character. He is all sufficient. He doesn't need anything from us. He is a God who gives and gives and gives. In Acts 17, if you'd like to turn there to Acts 17, verse 24. God's word says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. It all comes from him. In the book of Romans in verse 32, God, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things, everything? In 1 Timothy 6:17, God's word says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. James 1:17 tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Our Heavenly Father gives and gives and gives and gives. It is His nature. He is an awesome giver. And so it follows, if God is the wondrous, awesome, amazing giver that he is, that he connects with us in a special way when we are like him, when we give, when we do as he does, when we practice the grace of giving with people in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's a collection for the Lord's people. And the Apostle Paul said, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love that we have kindled in you, see to it also that you excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test your sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might become rich.
Amen.
We need to recognize this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is a great giver.
Amen.
He is a great and awesome and wondrous giver. The Apostle John describes our Savior this way in John 1, that he is the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In part, what that means is that Jesus, being full of grace, gives without a price tag. When he gives, he's not looking to get something back. He doesn't need anything. He is sufficient within himself, and he looks upon us and he sees our spiritual bankruptcy, and he says, I'm ready to meet that need. He sees our brokenness and he says, I'm ready to give healing and to mend that. He sees our sinfulness and says, I'm ready to give righteousness. He is a wondrous giver. Jesus is the one who declared, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and he lives that out every single day in your life and in mine. Jesus looks at the hungry and he gives food. He looks at the sick and he brings healing. He looks at those who are grieving, who are overcome by sorrow, and he brings hope into their life. He looks at those who are rejected by men and says, I accept you.
Yeah.
He looks at those who are disregarded and bullied and says, you matter to me. I value you. He is such a giver. Most of all, he gives himself. He gives himself. He sees us in our deadness, and he brings us into his family, and he gives us his Spirit. A third thing to recognize today, our Lord Jesus wants us to be great givers. Maybe a better way to put that is, Jesus wants to give greatly through us, through his church. Jesus called his 12 apostles. In Matthew 10, it says that he gave them authority. He gave them power and he sent them out. These were his instructions, verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Freely you have received. Freely give. Jesus is telling him in plain language, I've given you. Now you give it. It's not for your sake. He's saying, I've given you. Now you give that away. It's not always easy to obey. What do you have that God has given you? Everything you have. Everything, every goodness in your life. But he doesn't give it just for our sake. He gives it for our blessing and enjoyment, but he gives it also that we would be like him and we would give it away. And my flesh sometimes doesn't want to do that. Any of y'all around toddlers? Your kids or grandkids, or maybe you remember, you ever try to take a new toy away from a toddler or get them to share it with their sibling? Mine! They don't want to do it. That's us. I mean, that's all of us. In our flesh, we want to hang on to things. But when we see the generosity of Jesus, when we see the nature of our God, and we understand that every good thing in our life is from him, and we learn from that, and it compels us, and it drives us, and we're like, I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. I want to give myself away. Can you imagine what this world would be like if everybody woke up every day instead of looking to think, what can I get today? If the mentality, if the heart disposition was, what can I give? To everybody I run into, what can I give of myself today? Without reservation, without hindrance, what can I give away?
Be like heaven.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly what it's like. Here's something that the Lord's been teaching me and continues to teach me. I'm a long-term project. Giving is also for my sake. Giving's for my sake. Every time that I fight my flesh, especially if it's something that I really don't want to give, if I'm willing to obey that prompting of the Spirit, if I will do that, there is a blessing in me for me, because I'm not only giving whatever that is. Maybe I've got a pizza in the freezer and I've been so looking forward to eat that pizza. I don't know. And I know somebody who could use it more than me. Whatever it is, every time that I fight my flesh and I give away whatever it is the Lord says to give, maybe it's just some of my time, I'm giving up some of my stinginess with it. I'm giving up some of my selfishness with it. Yeah. Every time that I just obey and trust Him, and some of that junk of earth that's in me leaves, and I get a little bit more like Him. And it's a joy. It's a privilege. God wants my heart to be free. He doesn't want it bound to stuff. But it is sometimes. It is bound to things. Not just material things, but you know, sometimes even relationship or position or whatever it is. Pride. And the Lord's saying, child, I want to set you free. Will you just let go? Give it away. We all have so much to give, every one of us. We all have so much to give. I know sometimes we're wired materially, and you might think, well, Pastor, if you saw my checking account, you wouldn't say that I've got a lot to give. Fair enough. You know, if I saw the bills that were coming in, you know, maybe. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were on their way to the temple to a prayer meeting. And there was a man who was begging, and he asked them for money. He couldn't walk. You guys remember what Peter said? I don't have silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. You know, when Peter said in the name of Jesus, certainly they were representatives of Jesus. But I believe also along with that, he was saying, listen, the person of Jesus is here with us. In the name of means the person. It was the power, it wasn't Peter's power that raised this man up to walk. It was the power of Christ. And when that man stood up, when he received that gift, you know what it did? It was evidence that Jesus is alive. That Jesus was with those apostles. When you are a giver, especially in Jesus' name, you become part of the proof to the people in your life, He's alive. He's not dead. Even though you can't see Him, He is so alive. When you give yourself away, when you give of your time, when you give your attention to other people, it's part of the proof that Jesus is with you and in you, and He's alive. And it's such an inexpensive thing to just give encouragement to somebody, to just pray for somebody, to just take time to hug somebody, or maybe even just to put the brakes on when somebody mistreats you. Instead of just reacting and lashing out, you just put the brakes on for a minute and you say, God, help me to love this person. And you humble yourself and you say, you know, I don't know what I did, but please forgive me. And when we show appreciation to people, we give friendship to people that we don't necessarily want to be friends with. Any of us can do that. Especially when we share the gospel. You know, when you share with somebody, and that's not always easy, because they may not like what you have to say, but when you say, listen, you just seem down. You seem like you don't have peace today. Can I tell you, and I feel that way sometimes, but I know someone who brings hope into that. Can I tell you about Jesus? And you do that and you're a witness for him. When you give away that testimony, there's such a goodness in that. And in your flesh, you wouldn't do that, but Jesus is with you. He is with you. You know, one of the most beautiful things that I love about Jesus is what he lets me give him. Because I give him a lot of junk. When my heart is broken, Jesus says, I'll take that. You can give it to me. When I feel anxiety or fear, and Jesus says, I'll receive that. You give that to me. When I've sinned, and he says, don't run away. Run to me. I'll take that. He's so good. He's so good. There was a missionary years ago, Jim Elliot. If you want to read about a great missionary testimony, he made this statement. I want to share this with you this morning, and then I'm going to pray. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot gain to gain what he cannot lose. And at the end of the day, that's the invitation of the Lord. Give away the stuff of earth. Give away the junk that's not going to last anyway. And gain treasure in heaven that nobody can take from you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And thank you for giving us your spirit to bring your word to life and to give us understanding. Thank you, Lord, for giving us living water. As we receive your grace and your mercy and the truth of who you are, and you bless us so much in receiving that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said it is more blessed for us to give than to receive. Help us to give away your love because we have a boundless supply of it. We know we can't run out no matter how much we give away. Help us to give away your love and your mercy and your wondrous gospel message. Help us to give away the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
And if that means giving away our favorite Bible, you will supply another.
Yes.
Help us to give away the good news to everyone in our life, Lord. You are so good, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you know our hearts and you know that we want to cling to so many things and try to find satisfaction and so many things that can never satisfy. But Lord, we can find satisfaction in you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to give you our hearts, to give you our lives, and to receive everything that you have for us, Lord, and to be satisfied with who you are to us. Help us not to buy into the lies of this world, that somehow we're going to find value in anything else other than belonging to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your word declares that we are sons and daughters of God, that your spirit testifies to our spirit, and that's where our value is. And nobody can steal it from us.
Amen.
And it's a gift of your grace purchased on the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Lord, we pray for anybody here today who has not received that wondrous gift of salvation, that today would be the day, Lord, that your spirit would draw them, that you would show them, reveal the need for a Savior and for forgiveness. that the standard for all of us to enter into heaven when we die is righteousness that we don't have in ourselves, but that you freely give to those who trust in you. We pray for repentance, Lord, for all of us, believers and unbelievers alike, God, that we would all turn away from the darkness of this world, that we would all turn away from the devil and his deception, that we would turn away from sin and turn toward your wondrous light. Lord Jesus, you are good news. And we praise you today. Amen.